Welcome to the Knowledge Chamber. I'm your host, Robert Hess. In this episode, we're going to talk about devices and how to take and think about applications with other devices other than a keyboard and mouse. And joining us here is Johnny Lee.
Hi.
Hey, Johnny, so you're a researcher?
Yes, I'm a researcher inside of Microsoft Hardware.
Okay.
And it's a small group of people who sort of explore lots of devices away from the mouse and keyboard, as you mentioned.
So Microsoft Hardware, they're the people that make our keyboards and mice.
Right.
And so you're actually trying to bring devices in that aren't keyboard and mouse.
Right. We have a whole department or group that is dedicated to the production of mouse keyboards and webcams. And so our group has sort of been chartered with the target of actually coming up with things other than those. Mm-hmm. And to see exactly where the trend of technology is taking us and what sort of things we should be thinking about in order to better prepare either the hardware division or the software division to be in a good position for them.
Now, you know, we've had keyboards and mice for eons.
Yeah.
Is there something that can replace those overall that you're thinking about doing?
Completely replacing the keyboard and mouse is going to be very tough, just because the current computing environment has been optimized for the keyboard and mouse experience, and there's simply a price-performance ratio that is there, which is very difficult to beat for most tasks. But as computing becomes affordable and starts to reach out into these other domains, there's problems that arise which aren't always easy to solve with a keyboard and mouse. And you know, the mobile phone is the classic example of a computing environment which can't use a keyboard and mouse. The living room, the car, and all these other and other domains, and where new technologies need to be thought about.
Mm-hmm. So when you're faced with these, do you think about a device first and then think about how that can take and be applied to the experience, or do you think about the experience and then try to find a device that fits that model?
It's a little bit of both. It depends on, you know, we're a bunch of technology geeks, so we get excited about our technology, and sometimes it's finding a solution and then looking for a problem that it solves. But what I prefer is I generally like looking at the problems that arise in these new computing environments and then looking for technological solutions for them. In some cases, the technology solution may actually be incredibly simple and just overlooked because they're not really thinking about it. They're not thinking about the entire universe of possibilities.
Mm-hmm. So like, what's a good example of a device that you think is really useful in interacting in a certain way with the computer?
I think one of them is actually one of the projects I did with Weaver Mode, which is the low-cost interactive whiteboard. You know, in a standard office and or office worker, information worker environment, a large interactive touchscreen is not that useful. Maybe in meetings and maybe in presentations, but in standard office work, you don't really need it. But in environments,
it'd be cool to have a large interactive touchscreen.
Right, it would be cool. But the one thing is that they can be very expensive, and it's very easy to throw lots of technology at them. And one of the things that I worked on was a very, very simple way and very low-cost way to get a relatively reasonably well-performing interactive whiteboard, and especially for things like classrooms and presentation work, where you don't necessarily need to do extremely fine pointing and manipulation, but gross gestures and gross manipulations of the computing desktop is sufficient for those environments. In which case, you can actually just use a very low-cost camera and a very low-cost light-emitting pen, and those will actually provide you with a reasonably good solution for very cheap. And so, it's been useful for teachers and some students in their research work to mm-hmm. explore that platform.
So, for something like that, since you're coming up with unique hardware mm-hmm. and unique devices to interact with that hardware and interacting with the computer, it sounds rather expensive, since it's kind of almost like a one-off model mm-hmm. and not the sort of thing that a school or a small office could take on.
Right. Well, that's true. And with respect to the prototype, original prototype, it can be relatively expensive. But the cheaper the prototype is, the more likely it is that you can manufacture for actually very low cost. And in fact, some of the projects I've worked on have been so cheap that hobbyists have been able to essentially just go out and replicate the devices for under $100.
Oh, wow.
In manufacturing, it would be incredibly cheap at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I like solutions which are commercially plausible and actually are within the reach of people who are really want to get them.
Mm-hmm. Now, most of these devices are just simply replacing the keyboard mouse so that the new device drivers don't have to be written, or is there also now a software side of things that matches the hardware?
Usually, in order to get the best experience, you're going to have to make the software, you're going to have to make the hardware, and you're going to have to make the software to talk to it. So, for example, we're starting to see that with multi-touch, for example. All the previous legacy applications are written for a single cursor and for a single user, but we're starting to get into these environments where either multiple cursors for a single person, which is essentially multi-touch, or multiple people, each of them having multi-touch, in which case very few of the software applications today can take advantage of that. So to really get the strength of the benefit of the migration of technology, the software also has to evolve appropriately. Mm-hmm. And that's true for a lot of the work I've done myself. It's unfortunate that we have to, new devices have to sort of fit within the keyboard and mouse paradigm, either replacing keystrokes or simulating mouse clicks, because those are pretty big, you know, mittens you have to put on when you could do quite a bit to improve the communication bandwidth between a human and a computer.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you first start thinking about a new technology to do mm-hmm. some research onto, are you simply coming from what's a new way to interact with the computer model, or are you thinking about a specific task or application mm-hmm. and trying to think about what is a device that this application needs, whether it's a spreadsheet or maybe a brand new application that's never existed on the PC before?
Right. I usually take the latter approach, which is you look at a domain and look at its problems and then figure out what technologies could be used to solve those problems, and you don't take any of the existing computing paradigms for granted. Like, don't assume that you're using Windows, don't assume that you have a monitor, don't assume that you have a keyboard and mouse. There's just a computing technology that can manipulate data, and there's a person that wants to manipulate that data, and the interface between those two could be anything. The office worker has been solved with the current solution, but every other domain, for the most part, is somewhat undersatisfied, whether or not they be engineering, video gaming, medical applications, or personal personal social communication. Doesn't need to use Excel, for example.
Is there maybe a particular project you can talk about that you think really exemplifies that sort of model?
Most of the projects I'm working on right now, I'm not supposed to be able to talk about. But I think there are interesting ones that I would like to get into in the future that I haven't really had time to work on, particularly the medical domain. Just due to regulations, that domain has actually fallen behind a lot of other computing in its adoption of computing technology in certain
areas. Because a lot of privacy issues associated with
privacy and liability issues. Yeah. And while those may never go away, there's still some domains such as imaging analysis and data mining tools that could benefit a lot from being able to use alternative input and output devices. So, for example, a variety of ways in which you can scan the human body generally produces very complex 3D volumetric data, and using a keyboard and mouse can sometimes be underwhelming for manipulating those environments. And so there's a lot of opportunity for 3D input and 3D output where, even if those technologies are relatively expensive, they can actually be affordable if they provide enough utility to those domains. Mm-hmm.
Now, most of the people watching this episode mm-hmm. don't work at Microsoft, don't yeah. have a research team that has money that they can spend on making devices like mm-hmm. this. Let's imagine you are watching this episode and you've got a need for a different paradigm for mm-hmm. interacting with the machine. What are your options? What can you do?
There's actually quite a lot you can do. In fact, a lot of really good ideas. I used to come out of the academic research background, in which case I'm a graduate student. I don't exactly have a huge research budget either, except I'm allowed to spend most of my time coming up with new ideas. But most of the tools that we actually use are, very basic webcams, a couple of LEDs, some simple electronics. The hobby community has evolved quite rapidly and have created all these development platforms, such as the Arduino is a good example of a microprocessor which someone can program using a very easy to use interface, and then they have a standalone computer that can read sensors and spit out data. And a lot of these tools are less than $50 a piece, and so someone with a few hundred dollars and a good idea can actually sit down and come up with a completely new interface for whatever they want to tackle, whether or not it be music or a music creation program or art creation program or any other domain which is not currently satisfied by the existing commercial mm-hmm. applications.
But they still got to have some sort of basic knowledge about hardware development design and software development design to be able to write the device drivers to work into Windows or whatever operating system they use?
To some degree, yeah. It's you do need a little bit of hardware and software skill to create a completely new computing experience. But there's enough of these sort of generic platforms that it doesn't require getting down too much detail. Like, I've never written a device driver myself, simply because what I can do is I can just talk to the serial port, which is, you know, a generic way of getting information in and out of a computer, and then my program talks to the serial port. Mm-hmm. And so the computer itself has no idea what's going on, but my application does, and my input device and output device does. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what exactly are you talking about in your session at MIX?
So I'm going to be talking, a good chunk of what I'm going to be talking about is some projects I did with the Nintendo Wii Remote that became fairly popular on the internet. And they take advantage of the hardware sensors that are inside the Wii Remote. And it's mostly advertised for the motion sensing and mm-hmm. accelerometer component of it. But most of my projects actually use the camera that's in front of the controller. So most people don't realize the way it actually does pointing is that there's a camera on board that does computer vision looking at two bright dots sitting on the sensor bar. So the sensor bar doesn't actually have any sensors, it actually is just two lights.
So this has a camera in it, you mean?
Yes, so behind the front of this controller is actually a very specialized camera.
Oh, cool.
So it's a very, very interesting package, and so I'm going to be talking about some projects I did as well as some projects other people did. Mm-hmm. And then the last half of the session, I'm going to be talking about other research projects I've done or other research projects of my colleagues that I think are very interesting and sort of hint at what might be coming in computing in the future. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, you got two other devices here. What are these for?
So these are devices that I use for the projects. One of them is the interactive whiteboard that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. So the way I did it was, the way I created the interactive whiteboard is I used the camera in the front of the controller and this pen, which has an infrared light in the front. And when you press the button, the light turns on and the camera can see where the pen is, and that essentially gives you the interactive whiteboard experience for at very, very low cost, because this is the hardware requirements for it. It doesn't work quite as well as a commercial system for obvious reasons, but it's good enough for a lot of people.
And it's pretty cheap.
And it's extremely cheap, yeah. So you get about 80% of the performance for about 1% of the cost, which mm-hmm. is, I think, a valuable ratio. The second device here is essentially a pair of safety glasses that have two infrared light emitters on the side. This actually used to be work headlamps that I just simply replaced the LEDs with infrared ones. And again, using the camera, the camera can see the two lights, and when you wear it on your head, you can actually get an approximate location of where the head is relative to the camera. So it just sees those two dots, which sort of represent where your head is.
And you can see which direction I'm looking.
It doesn't really help with which direction you're looking, but it tells you where the head is. Okay. And if the camera is next to a display, what that does is it essentially tells the computer which angle you're looking at the screen at. And when we play video games, they render 3D content on the screen, but it normally just produces a flat image. You know, it's a 3D scene, but it's just a picture. If it knows what angle you're viewing the screen at, it can actually move and rotate the objects as if they actually existed in front of you.
So it's a different way of interacting just without even keyboard and mouse, just basically where
right.
you're looking.
Just by moving your body, you actually change what's going on the screen.
Yeah. So let's say you're a application designer, so you have no, you know, software development background, mm-hmm. And you've got a need for getting a different way of getting data. You think mm-hmm. that your application needs something else. Do you recommend that they take and try to find some software hardware vendor that has the skills to create the stuff for them, or what? Because I can see that'd be kind of frustrating. Here I'm a designer, and I should keep there should be some better way other than the keyboard or mouse to get into this application.
Right. In general, when a truism in exploring these things is, if you're willing to pay more, you can offset more work, right? And if you are able to find a vendor that does provide everything you need, I would recommend that, though there's a good chance that anyone who specializes that much is going to be very expensive, mm-hmm. simply because if you're doing something unusual, it's likely to be very custom. Mm-hmm. the nice thing about these hobbyist and open source development platforms is that a lot of these tools are designed for people who don't have very much background. Because if you are an electrical engineer and you have had a significant amount of hardware work, you don't actually need any of these hobby tools. You already know how to use the professional versions. Mm-hmm. But the hobby community has created these platforms which even artists who have no programming background can get something working within a few weeks. They don't even understand what an if statement is or what a for statement is. But yet they can say create a sensor which, you know, monitors their voice level and chain makes objects on the screen react, or mm-hmm. Reacts to their muscles in their face, or reacts to temperature or movement and mm-hmm. things like that. So the bar has gotten really, really low for exploring these new devices. Now, turning those prototypes into a commercial product is a very different aspect, to come up with some, to explore a new interaction concept is actually quite easy.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. I mean, I enjoyed that a lot, and I can't wait to see, you know, how some of these stuff's actually working when mm-hmm. your session goes on a mix.
Great.
Oh, thanks, Ray. Well, hopefully you enjoyed that little insight into how devices besides a keyboard and mouse might actually be applicable to some software application needs. So check out Johnny's session at Mix, and you might be able to see how this little game device might be your next input device.